Okay, good morning. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here this morning. May God's blessing be on all of you this morning. It's been a while since we've been here, I think. Excuse me. But I have been blessed just being here this morning the way the Lord has directed the service this morning. Mark asked me to share, and I just, when was it? I forget when we corresponded again. Was it yesterday or the other day? And I just said, pray for me, this preacher. So I have my ups and downs as far as, you know, when you come to share, especially in a new place. You want to make sure you're hearing from God, and you want to share what God wants to share, not what Earl Neuswinger wants to share. And so I just praise God for his confirmations this morning. Appreciate it, the opening. It's very good. And the children's lesson there about forgiveness. And then the last song we sang. When I survey the wondrous cross, I trust that, are there any surveyors in here? What was the songwriter here trying to convey? When I survey the wondrous cross, that cross that the Lord Jesus gave his very life for each one of us here this morning. So this is my subject this morning, is on love. And it's been something I have been meditating on a lot. And so when Mark asked to share, that's where my heart went, to share with you. It's probably more of where I'm at, what God is doing in my life. And I trust that it'll be a blessing for each one of you, that you'll be encouraged to give your all for the Lord Jesus. He's done so much for us. What else can we do? If we somehow to have a fresh view, a fresh vision, a fresh revelation of what Jesus did on the cross for each one of us, that would compel us, that would move us to where we surrender our all, that we surrender everything to him. He is worthy. He is worthy. So we'll see how it goes here this morning. My title is Faith, Love, Brotherhood. So we heard a little bit about faith this morning, about God being our Almighty God and just trusting him. And maybe a longer, or how should I say, to define a little bit more, faith which worketh by love makes a beautiful brotherhood. Faith which worketh by love makes a beautiful brotherhood. And that is taken out of Galatians 5:6, that says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. So I like to just zero in a little bit on faith here first to start off with. Maybe before we go there, if we could just pause for a word of prayer yet. Let's pray again. Lord, we come again in the precious name of Jesus. God, we worship you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, for being our God. We thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior. We're willing to come and give your very life so that we could have life and have it more abundantly, Lord. We thank you for that this morning, God. And I just pray, Father, as we look into this subject this morning of your love, God, I pray, Father, that it would change us, Lord. Like it says there in Corinthians, that we would behold the glory of the Lord and that we would be changed from glory to glory. God, there is higher ground for each one of us here this morning. We're all maybe at different places, God, but I pray, Father, that we would be inspired to even go further and deeper with you, dear God. We thank you, Lord. I just thank you for everyone that's here. I pray your peace and your blessing upon them, Lord. Just have your way here for the remainder of the service, God. And I pray that you would be glorified. We thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I might just mention yet, too, just in light of the wedding yesterday, some of yous were there. It was a real blessing to be there. And the message that was preached, I said something to David last night that thinking maybe I should just talk to Mark and just tell him to replay it again here this morning. But God wants us to preach the word, so I endeavor to do that this morning. But I did really appreciate what he shared there, and there was different notes, different keys, things there that he brought out. Maybe we'll touch on later here as we go through the message. So we have this thing of faith, or in Galatians, like I read already, faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. So we have in Hebrews the faith chapter where it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by this the elders obtain a good report. And then also in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We can do a lot of things, if you will, but if they're not being done by faith, it will not please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So do we need faith this morning? Yes, we do. We do. Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And I like that. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. God is. God is here now in this circumstance, in this situation. God is here. God is. Do you find yourself in a struggle this morning, in a battle? God is here. God is right here in your situation. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is. Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. I just wanted to point those couple things out there in that verse. Faith believes that he is, and that he also is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. God is this, not this God up there in heaven and is a very stingy God. He's not that way. You come to God in true faith, in repentance, and you come to him and pour out your heart to him. And yes, if you need to repent, you repent. And God is there. He's waiting. He's wanting to pour out his blessing on you. That's our God this morning. That great God that Josh shared a little bit here in the opening. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let us be diligently seeking him. I trust we are, but may we be encouraged even to seek him more. To seek him more. He is worthy. As we survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, may we seek him more. May we give him our all. And then we also have in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And the next verse, 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, the righteous shall live by faith." Are we living by faith this morning? I like this verse. It says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. It's not just by living a plain lifestyle. It's not just by doing certain things. Whatever else you want to put in there. And I'm not, I want to be careful. Or how should I say when I say things? I am for a simple, conservative lifestyle. But let me tell you, or like it says here, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, because we do certain things." No, it's because therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. It's made known. People see it. This God up there in heaven that is so holy and righteous, he's up there in heaven. And he wants to reveal his holy, righteous character, if you will, to a lost and dying world. And he's looking to you and me this morning that we will be revealing, according to this verse, his righteousness. His righteousness. Therein, Romans 1:17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So may we be encouraged in this area of faith. You know, I have heard this term and I have used it myself, you know, where the term is, we don't want to go to church and just go through the motions. How did you come to church this morning? How did I come to church this morning? Well, I can say this morning, my faith was active as I was tried. I had prepared this. Where are we at here? Today is Sunday. This past week, but I still got hit a couple times. It's like, Lord, I had to. You know, I am one of those that probably I lean probably too hard on my feelings, and I'm learning, and I'm learning. You cannot go by your feelings. You cannot go by your feelings. Where's the answer? If you go by your feelings will take you who knows where, right? Take you who knows where. But faith in a living God would take you somewhere too, right? A God that is real, that is alive, that is powerful. You put your faith in that God, something is going to happen. Are you with me? Are you with me? Something is going to happen. Just think about it. Faith. What is faith? Faith. Faith is what connects us to a holy God. Faith is what connects us to a holy, righteous God. You want to be righteous this morning? You need to be connected to the one who is righteous this morning. You can't do it on your own. My dear brothers and dear sisters and my friends here this morning, this is something that is deep for me. I am 50 years old, and I feel like I have tried to get a grasp and understanding of this in a deeper way, and it feels like I'm only starting to get a little bit. But what I'm getting is good. This thing of faith, to where somehow God becomes real in our everyday life. Not just Sunday best, where you come to church and you put on your Sunday best and smile to everybody and, yeah, everything looks good. But what about when you come home and there is something happens that, you know, if you're a person that tends to get angry, you know what comes out. But the person that is living by faith, the just shall live by faith. And if he is walking with God and his faith is active in that holy God, something happens that upsets the puppet falls over, whatever happens. Righteousness comes out. The holy, righteous character of God comes out. Hallelujah! That's, to me, shouting material, if you will, this morning. The world can shout about a lot of things. Seeing a ball go into a certain place and all these different things. But my brothers and sisters, we have something that the world has no idea. It doesn't. They're blinded to it. And sometimes we as Christians are trying to grasp and get a better understanding of it ourselves. So I trust that we'll be encouraged this morning to have the faith that is real, a faith that connects us with a holy God. Like this morning I was saying, I was tried. What did I have to do? I had to quit thinking how I'm feeling and whether I'm right on the right track or not. I simply had to put my trust in the living God. God is. God is. God is. He's here right now, this moment, this situation. He knows what I'm facing right now. The enemy is throwing its darts. He's right here. God is good. Faith is what connects us with God. Because of faith, the elders obtained a good report. Because of faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Because of faith, Enoch was translated. Because of faith, Noah moved with fear and built an ark. How many of you saw the big ark creation museum? Some of you, we haven't seen it yet. Noah, because of faith, Noah moved with fear and built an ark. Because of faith, Abraham obeyed and went out. Because of faith, Sarah received strength to conceive. What is your need this morning? Faith will see you through. Not faith in faith, but faith that connects you to a holy God who has all power. Praise God. Praise God. Well, that's on faith. We're going to go on to love now. And again, the title I have this morning is Faith, Love, Brotherhood. So I am going somewhere. I am going somewhere. Faith, love, brotherhood. So we talked about faith. Now we want to look at love, the love of God. We probably all, I don't know, everyone in this room probably could quote John 3:16. Why don't we just quote it together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, there's one thing in there that I want to bring out. For God so loved the world that he did what? Said, well, you poor guys down there, I hope you get it figured out. He gave. Thank you, brother. That's right. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave the best he had. For God so loved the world that he gave. And I know we know that verse, so, you know, we can, quote it by heart. Can we somehow, may that come more alive in our hearts? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Matthew 20:28, it says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So God gave. Now Jesus came. And he came, and he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He gave his very life. He went to the cross for a lost and dying world. And we can look at that and we can, you know, Jesus knew that not everyone was going to accept what he did. You think he knew that? I think he knew that. But he also knew there were some that were going to believe. Now we're going to be able to spend eternity with him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. It says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Our brother yesterday did such a beautiful job there. I appreciated what he said there about, he was in Ephesians about, that's where this verse comes from. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives. How many husbands are in this room here this morning? Husbands. And we should look at that a little bit. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Now that's a high calling. How are we doing? How am I doing? That's a high calling. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The love of God gives. And I'm not sure if I can, where I'll stick it. Maybe I'll just mention some of it here. But somehow to have, I'm on this journey of digging into this thing of the love of God. But to have an understanding of how does the love of God work. Brother and I were just talking last night on along these lines. You know, we tend as human beings, we give when what? There's a return, right? We tend to do that. So somebody is nice to me, I'm nice to them. Simple arithmetic, right? 1 + 1 = 2. Somebody does something nice to me, I do something nice to them. Somebody does something mean to me, well, yeah, we were encouraged to forgive, right? We forgive, okay? What does the love of God do? What does the love of God do? The love of God continues to give. Continues, if you will, to love. It will not get snobby. It will not get, won't give a cold shoulder, give a silent treatment, whatever else you want to put in there. The love of God gives. The love of God gives. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. That He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I read that, I don't know, a month ago or so, and it just really hit me. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. And the way, it was in my morning devotions, the way I was looking at this or thinking when I was reading this, you know, like I was saying earlier, it's easier for us. If somebody is nice to me, it's easy to be nice to them. Right? But here it's saying, herein is love. Not that we love God. In one sense, you know, God is so good. Well, why wouldn't we love Him? Now, we know people, because of sin and all that, they still want to do what they want to do. And they do appreciate when God allows the sun to come up every morning, and they do appreciate when it rains, and it rains on their crops, on their fields, and so forth. They do appreciate that. But because of their own sin, because of the love of the world, they go their way. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. While we were yet, let me just read this verse, Romans 5:18. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Does that give a little bit of a picture of what love, the love of God is? While we were yet in our sins, while we were ugly, while we were mean or whatever you want to put in there, God or Jesus gave. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. And may God help us to understand His love, that we would love the way God loves. The true love of God gives, like I said already, gives when there is no return. It's, putting it in one word, it's selfless. The love of God is selfless. And we're born with a selfish nature. And when we become a child of God, we repent of our sins, we give our heart to the Lord, and there is a change down in here. We're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. There's a change that happens. And we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. But even after we're born again, we still have temptations. We still have those things. How should I say? We still have self to deal with. We still have self to deal with. But may we get a grasp of the love of God this morning. That whatever we do, whatever we say, wherever we go, somehow that it's motivated because of the love of God. When you rebuke a brother, that it is empowered, it is inspired by the Spirit of God. And there is love that comes through that rebuke. It's selfless. You know, a brother can do something to me, and it can hurt me. So we're supposed to rebuke each other, right? We're supposed to, you know, if somebody does something to me, so we rebuke them. But if we're not careful, we don't make sure that we're surveying the wondrous cross of the Lord Jesus, and we go to that brother, it's not going to come out right. It's not going to come out right. Because we still have this self to deal with. You know, sometimes it dies pretty hard. May God help us to be dead to self. I like how Paul says it in Ephesians, putting off the old man and his deeds and putting on the new man, Christ, the Lord Jesus. There's no self there in Christ. Christ was selfless. He gave his life. I'd like to just, in contrast, look a little bit at the love of the world. What does John say about the love of the world? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The love of God, the love of the world. Lust. What can I get? I'm lusting after this thing or that thing. It's all for me. Lust of the eyes. We see these new... Can I pick on this morning? We see these brand new Chevy or GM or Ford trucks being pumped out of... Well, Ford comes from Ford and GMC comes from up there somewhere in Michigan. Oh, we see them. And our eyes lusting after them. Oh, but we wouldn't lust after them. So how do we know whether we're lusting or not? How do we know whether that eye is looking at that thing? Well, John also says, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Where are you dwelling? Are you dwelling at GMC? Are you dwelling at Ford? Where's Ford? I forget. But anyways, where are you dwelling this morning? I hope nobody's here this morning thinking about I don't know if they're got the new 2020s out yet or not. What's your eye looking at this morning? What are our eyes looking at this morning? The love of the world. The two are on opposite poles. The one is selfless, and the other one is selfishness to the core. And somehow we bring, oh, we know the way bad out there. Sorry, brother, sisters. We know the bad way out there. I'm going over you, okay? We know the bad way out there. So we just bring it, right here, right? So it's not quite so bad. But it comes from the same source. Where does it come from? Adam. Self-life. Self. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There's more to it that I want to say. The world passes away and the lust thereof. It's all going to pass away. Why would we spend our energies thinking and lusting after, if you will, the 2020 pickup trucks. Sorry if I'm picking on anyone. I'm not picking on anyone. I'm just using that as an illustration because I think some of those things come closer home than what we want to reckon with sometimes. You can put anything else there this morning. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's all going to pass away. But there's one who's not going to pass away, and what we do with giving our life and giving our service, giving our all, our everyday life to him, it's going to last. It's going to last. I think of there in Ephesians about, not in Ephesians, I'm sorry, Corinthians, where Paul talks about the wood, hay, and stubble, and gold and silver, and some are building. There is only one foundation to build on, which is Christ, but some are building on that foundation, wood, hay, and stubble, and when the fire comes, what's going to happen? It's going to burn up. It's going to burn up. What a sad day it would be. And according to Corinthians there, it seems there is going to be some that way where somehow they had the foundation right, but they were using, if you will, the wrong material. And that material in the end burns up. And they scarcely make it into eternity. They scarcely make it. Don't waste your time on earthly things. I know we need to live and all those things, but I think it comes down to you know, how should I say, comes down to really where is my heart at. And sometimes it's hard for us to know exactly where our heart is at. So we have the two on opposite poles, the love of God and the love of the world. I text or a message a brother, when was it? Sometime. And he was going through a battle or a struggle. And I just encouraged him that if he did anything wrong, to repent, to make sure he's clear with God, and then to trust God and walk that way. Sometimes, you know, the law, hope I'm not losing you here. I get scattered sometimes. The law can show us where we're wrong. The law, the holy law of God can show us where we are wrong, but it cannot lift one finger to help you. It cannot lift one finger to help you. That's where Jesus comes in. That's where the grace of God comes in. That we can, like it says in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, it says, what the law could not do in that it was weak in the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of God might be, is it revealed or made known? I'm getting it mixed up. What's that? Fulfilled? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. There you go. Thank you, brother. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The law can only show us where we're wrong. And so some people want to run away from the law. No, the law is good. The law is good. The law is right. The reason we want to run away from it, it's because it's showing us up really who we are and where we're at. And so in going back a little bit, what I was saying earlier about that brother, that I text or messaged. So the law shows us where we're wrong. May we acknowledge if the law is really showing us that we're wrong, then what do we need to do? We need to humble ourselves and just acknowledge before a holy God, God, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I repent. And then what happens? The grace of God comes. the grace of God comes. Our God is so good. May we, I'm sure I have been guilty of this, where, you know, it's like I'm just the law. But to help somebody see that where maybe they erred or where they went wrong, and then to help them through to where they are clearly clear from that thing. May God help us in that. Okay. One more thing here. Love is costly. Love is costly. It costs something, right? Love is very costly. And I might just, or I'm going to read a little story here that I found. Love is costly. It costs the life of the Lord Jesus. This is about American prisoners of war during the Second World War who were made to do hard labor in a prison camp. Each had a shovel and would dig all day, then came in and gave an account of his tool in the evening. One evening, 20 prisoners were lined up by the guard and the shovels were counted. The guard counted 19 shovels and turned enraged on the 20 prisoners, demanding to know which one did not bring his shovel back. No one responded. The guard took out his gun and said that he would shoot 5 men if the guilty prisoner does not step forward. After a moment of tense silence, a 19-year-old soldier, the age of Ben, whoever was writing the story, stepped forward with his head bowed down. The guard grabbed him, took him to the side, and shot him in the head, and turned to warn the others that they better be more careful than he was. Now get this. When he left, the men, those 19 men that were left, when he left, the men counted the shovels, and there were 20 shovels. Are you getting the picture of what was going on here? The guard had miscounted, and the boy, this 19-year-old boy, had given his life for his friends. Can you imagine those 19 that were there? It could have been any one of them. The soldier said, I'm going to shoot 5 of yous. If one doesn't step forward, I'm going to shoot 5 of yous. Do you think this 19-year-old, I suppose this actually happened. I got it. should have maybe dug deeper. But we know stories like this, that they do happen. But to me, it would almost seem like this man had something, understood love. He was willing to give his life for those 19. Maybe you could say 4. Love is very costly. Love is very costly. Am I willing to give my life for my brother? Jesus said in 1 John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have one for another. And that was right before Jesus went to the cross and gave his life. If I'm thinking right there, I think it was that way. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by the love that ye have one to another. Loving one another. Jesus gave his very life. He showed, if you will, the disciples there, what love is all about. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And I I don't know. I mean, all these 3 points, faith, love, brotherhood, they're all very deep in my, how should I say, deep for me. But this one here is very deep too. Because I see as I ponder the love of God and how this thing is supposed to work out in brotherhood and in church life, to me, it's not a little one. It's not a little one. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples by the love that you have one for another. You know, would it be easier? I think Denny used to say, you know, to just be a martyr would maybe be easier, where you just do it and they just do it and get it over with and it's done. But to live a life of a martyr, can I say, even takes more faith? I don't know. I never was a martyr, so I don't know. But either way, it takes faith. It takes faith. Truly, or a brother, sorry. Faith, love, brotherhood. Now we're looking at brotherhood. And where my heart is at here this morning on this thing is where we have, or where we as brothers and sisters truly care for one another. Where there is a true, where the love of God is revealed in everyday life, in everyday church life, right? The story is said about John when he was very old, could hardly walk. They would carry him, sit him up before the congregation up front like I'm up here this morning to share. And it is said that the only thing he could say was repeatedly the phrase, love one another, love one another, love one another, love one another. And again, I got that somewhere, and I don't know if it actually was that way or not, but I read 1 John 3 and 4. It's in there. I think if we turn there, there's 4 or 5 times that phrase is used, that John uses, love one another. Love one another. John was in John there, how should I say it? It's very black and white. He says, if you say you love God, but if you hate your brother, the love of God does not dwell in you. There is no, and here, it's either you're in or out. Either you're there or you're there. Either you're in or you're out. Either you're, yes, in or out. Truly caring one for each other. Loving one another. Loving one another. 1 John 3 and 4. I'm not going to take time to go there, but you can look at it sometime. But John was the beloved of the Lord Jesus. And he comes through very strong on this subject of love. To where some of us, it might almost seem like he is erring. But I believe God, or I'm sorry, I believe John knew God. And that's where what we heard yesterday, that thing of knowing stood out to me in a way that it was just, to me, it was just profound. Why is it that we don't love each other as much as we should at times? As he was sharing that, it just hit me. Is it not because we don't understand the love of God? Saying it in another way, that there is a, we say we know God, but is there a lack in really knowing God? And also John, it says, 3:14, it says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren, and he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And that's very in the right context there of Cain and Abel. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We love the brethren. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. I don't know if I can wrap it up here by 12 or not, but bear with me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, it says, But I say unto you that whosoever is, verse 23, Therefore if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. How many of us have done that? If you know, somehow you found out that this brother, there's a problem. So what do we naturally do? We just say, well, I guess it's his problem. He just needs to get over it. Is that what it says here? What did Jesus say? Leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. If I know that there's a problem, and I just keep worshiping God like everything is fine, Jesus says here, we need to leave our gift there at the altar and first make sure that our relationship with my brother is right. My relationship with my sister is right. Like I said, we tend to come up with excuses. I know I have. But may God help us to obey this one. To obey what Jesus said. But, you know, unless we have found that altar where self has been slain, we can still do that. We can obey the law, what Jesus was saying here. And you can come away and it's still, somehow it didn't work out. He didn't hear me. I wanted to make sure that things were right, but some reason it didn't come out right. Well, could it be maybe that we went the wrong way? Maybe we didn't spend enough of time at the altar before God to make sure that that self was out of the way. And then we survey the wondrous cross, like I had mentioned earlier. And then we go to the brother and say, Brother, I understand there's a problem. Apparently I did something. I must have done something. What did I do that has caused this problem? What can I do to take care of it? You see, the one comes out, the fruit comes out one way, am I saying that right? And the fruit of the other one. John says, love one another. Love one another. We listen. We try to understand, we're jealous over a relationship, and we do what's in our power to fix the problem, But it's his problem. I mean, if he would just be godly like I am, everything would be fine, right? What does the love of God do? It gives. It's willing even to be misunderstood. Why because there's an understanding of God who is love. And I don't know, again, we were talking about this last night, Daryl and I, but I just mentioned we have a window business, and I work with customers. And you know, to me, it would seem that a brother has to be pretty hard if you come in the spirit of humility, if you come in that sense where you're taking the responsibility on yourself because there's a problem between us. You're taking the responsibility. Maybe he is responsible, but you want to make sure that whatever you did that caused the problem, that you take care of that. Right? Do we care enough for each other? Do I care enough for my brother? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And I don't know, I know some of you's here. If there's anyone here this morning that is struggling because, you know, this brother is erring pretty much. I mean, he's pretty heavy on love. I mean, doesn't that get people in trouble when all they do is love, 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 you know? Everything is lovey-dovey and you know, and God is this teddy bear that just overlooks everything? No. No. There's a verse, I think it's in Jude, where it says that men have come in and turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. And I believe men have crept in and caused this thing of the love of God. Somehow it's been distorted, and somehow because we had that out there, and we have that out there where it's that doesn't look right, and that doesn't look right, and so we kind of stay away from that, and we don't want to go there, and we're kind of caught in the middle. So what do we do? Why say, this is where I'm at. And brother, if I'm saying something that is off, I want you to feel free to bring any clarification that you know the church body here. I know there's some visitors here. If we understand the love of God the way John understood it, he was black and white. He nailed sin to the wall, if you will. You can't have the love of God and not have a right relationship with your brother if you're responsible. There is times I believe, but the church needs to step in somewhere, and we can go to Matthew 18 then. But again, there that Matthew 18, I think I don't know. I'll just say it this way. It says there, we go, you know, there was offense. He actually did something to me, so I go to him, and I show him where he went wrong. And it says in there something about we go to win our brother. It's not to destroy him. It's not because this brother, again, like I had said earlier, this brother really did something to me, and this feels bad, and I was hurt. Well, if you go just because you were hurt, I'm sorry, that's not going to work. I think we understand that. Do we care for each other? I trust we do. I'm just sharing the inspiration that I'm having in some of my meditations. I can't go there, but think about Romans 14:21. Go there or look at that sometime. Do I care for my brother? You know, we could go on and on. If I am doing something that I know is affecting my brother in a wrong way, maybe it's not to where he actually feels it's sin, but yet it's almost that way to him. Why just keep doing it because, well, he just somehow needs to learn the love of God. Somehow he just needs to get with it. I don't think that's what Paul was saying in Romans 14, 21. If I really care for my brother, I'll do what I can to make it easy for him. And you know what? If there is something there that needs to fall off, if you will, I think if we do it right, it actually can fall off. Or there could be a possibility if the heart gets right. Okay, I'm going to have to close here. It's 5 after. I had wanted to read Corinthians 13, but I'm just going to read something here in closing. And it's kind of if I can find it. Maybe I don't have it. Years ago, a brilliant and talented young man was sent to a mission field. He was critical and controlling. He was quick-tempered and impatient. He rubbed people the wrong way and reacted against people. Kind of bad to go to the mission field that way. Finally, the people wrote to the home mission board asking that he be called back as he was more of a hindrance than a help. After the board met and discussed what should be done, the secretary wrote a letter to the young missionary. You shall stay under one condition. The condition is that you read 1 Corinthians 13 each day for the next year. You want an assignment? Read 1 Corinthians 13 each day for the next year. Before the year was half gone, a transformation took place. The same person who wrote asking for his dismissal now wrote asking for his continuance. How's that verb thing go? In a few years, the same person wrote the board asking for him to be there. Oh, I'm sorry. For his continuance. In a few years, the same person wrote the board asking for him to become their bishop. He served for more than 50 years as an effective leader of Christ's church. That's a powerful testimony. So I pray that God would make us all more like Jesus. I'm not where I want to be, and I hope I didn't give that impression this morning. I have a lot of room to grow. But I have a vision. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, one of the reasons of this whole thing that I brought in the brotherhood, because I believe Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer that we would be one even as him and the Father are one. And there is a beauty, there is a glory, there is something there that the world needs to see. And how will they see that? But through the church. Through the church. So may God help us. While we live in our different communities, different churches, there's different churches represented here this morning. May we go home, the ones that are here. May we be encouraged that the Lamb that was slain would receive the reward of his sufferings. May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his sufferings. God bless you. I'll turn the time over to Mark.